hour number two here on this Thursday afternoon edition of the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Again, thanks to Nick Ockwig from the Wausau Central Wisconsin Convention and Visitors Bureau for joining us in hour number one. And people like Nick are the people that you're going to hear from a lot during this program. But we're going to talk a lot about issues, talk about what's going on in the communities, talk about what's happening within the state, and even some national and international stuff that comes across my mind. But the first week of the program, and of course, I thank you for the folks who have reached out and said good things about the program. And also, sometimes you get a little bit of pushback as well. And I've been in the radio business a long time, and one of the many things that I have learned is anytime a station changes their format, there will be some folks who are happy about it, and there will be some people that are unhappy about it. And I mean, sometimes very unhappy about it as well. On Tuesday, after our first show, about half an hour after the show ended, I was still at my desk, and the phone rang, and got a call from a listener. I'm not sure if he was mad at me or maybe mad at Crute and the Devil's Advocates, but I picked up the phone, and we could just tell from the tone of the voice he was not a very happy man. But we had a cordial conversation. He felt like the point of view was a little bit to the left of what he wanted, and then he wants it more down the middle and along those lines. And the point I make is not because I want to say that somebody calls up who didn't like the program is wrong in any way. No, I mean, everybody has their right to their opinion, but the cordial conversation aspect, and that's something we're going to have a lot of here on the program. I want to have these conversations. I'm going to bring in people from both sides of the aisle, have the point of view of others that are not just going to parrot what I believe. I believe certain things. I'm sure other people believe some other things, but I want to bring it up because what do I want to accomplish with this program? Bow Falls Radio is going to provide some viewpoints that you have not heard on the radio here in Central Wisconsin over many, many years. I mean, it's been a long time since there's been anything other than conservative-based radio, and nothing against our friends across town, very successful across town, but that's one point of view, and I think during the course of this program as well, going to try and tell you a few things that you won't hear on that radio station, try to give you some information so you can make better decisions on your voting, on what you support, the people that you support, the policies that you support. So again, you just want to be able to have that information out there, to be able to have a conversation with people that may think differently than you and have some information that perhaps you can use. And I talked about in the first segment of the program today that as I get older, sometimes I change my thoughts and my viewpoints on certain issues and what moves me, what I'm passionate about. And I think that's a good thing, that sometimes when you're able to be swayable because you have some information that occurs, that's one of the good things I think that we want to try to establish here on this program and on this radio station. Again, we're pretty new. It's since August 1st that you've heard the programming from Civic Media, and our program just started this week. So, again, the point of telling this is not about someone who doesn't like the program. You know the point of view. It is truly about just having different points of view and having different information. And radio listeners are so very passionate. And we see that in other areas of the country as well. We need to focus on what's important, the things that bring us together. And I think conversation is one of those things that brings us together and the things to help us lead better lives. And I just think that you want to have that opportunity to hear, I think, both sides of the story. And hopefully here in Central Wisconsin, hopefully here in Wausau, that we will have a chance to have different voices and different points of view on the radio in this community and area. And I did not ask the question of the caller that I wanted to, because I did not want him to get any more upset than he was. But my thought was that he probably wasn't making the same call to the station across town that consistently talks down anybody that is to the left of Donald Trump. I mean, it's right now on the radio, you can hear Sean Hannity, and I'm sure he's not talking about the same things that I'm talking about on the radio right now. So as I said on Tuesday, I want intellectual honesty on this program. I don't believe that is a left-right thing. I think that is a American thing. I want voices who are not heard enough. I don't think that should be a left-right thing. I want ideas and opinions that have not been heard on the radio before this to have a forum that would not be given across town. So that's, again, the bottom line. I want to have lots of people tune into this program and the others on Bow Falls Radio. I don't have a problem if people check in on the station across town to hear a different point of view, but I just hope everyone in our community gets the chance to hear more than just one point of view, and that it helps make better decisions on what policies should be followed here in the Wausau area, in their town, in the state, and in this country. So again, just a little bit as we're trying to establish ourselves here in the first week. Had some terrific guests so far, had some great conversations Tuesday with Mayor Rosenberg and with Bob Look, the state Senate candidate, with Tony Gonzalez yesterday, with Randy Ratke yesterday, with Nick Ockwig earlier today. And coming up in just a couple of minutes, we'll be talking to Kristen Conway, who is an alder in the city of Schofield and also a candidate. And you got to give so much respect to those folks who are willing to throw their hat in the ring and run for office. And she's a candidate for the state assembly in the 85th district, the Democratic nominee. So she'll be taking on Republican and the incumbent Pat Snyder in November. So we're going to talk a little bit about those issues and more with Kristen Conway coming up next. Again, every weekday from 2 to 4 p.m., join me, Chad Holmes, right here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa. . 3:15 here on a beautiful Thursday afternoon in Wausau. We are on East Wausau Avenue, studios of Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Again, you can catch us online at bowfallsradio.com and mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. I'm Chad Holmes. Chad Holmes Show here on this Thursday until 4 o'clock, then the Devil's Advocates from 4 until 6. And again, we are very happy. It's great to talk to folks who are throwing their hat in the ring. We talked to Bob Look, a state Senate candidate, back on Tuesday in our first show. And very happy to welcome into studio today the 85th Assembly District Democratic nominee, Kristen Conway. Kristen, thank you very much for popping on over.
Thank you for having me.
Before we talk about the campaign, you actually have another governmental position. You are an alder in the city of Schofield, and I think that's vitally important in terms of the position that you're running for, because it does give you an opportunity, I think, to see what is being done, what's not being done in terms of helping one of the municipalities here in this area. But before we talk into some of those issues, talk a little bit about what's going on in the city of Schofield? Because, as I said off air, sometimes we get so focused on things that are going on in Wausau or in Weston, and Schofield's is sort of in the middle, and it's a bit landlocked, which is always one of those interesting aspects of it as well. What are the issues right now that you're kind of keeping an eye on in the city of Schofield?
Well, right now, I think what every city is struggling with is a budget. You know, we're really limited, especially, like you said, we're landlocked, so we're limited to how much we can raise our levy by, you know, our new construction. And as Schofield, we don't have a lot of new construction. Mm-hmm. I think one year, the only new construction we had was a house that burned down that was rebuilt. So we have very, very limited resources right now, you know, to pay our fire department needs a new fire truck, and we're struggling mm-hmm. on how to, you know, find the money for that. We do have a new a building in process right now over by the Schofield Dam. That's a really big deal because that's new construction that we mm-hmm. haven't had in a long time.
It sounds like those meetings can be difficult at times.
They can. When we're talking about, you know, paying our employees a fair rate, especially, you know, with what's happening in other, you know, other towns, other municipalities in the county, people losing, we have to be competitive in order to keep our employees. And it's getting difficult with the money is just not there.
What are some of the options that the city has?
Not a lot, really. Not a lot. A lot. What a lot of cities have been doing is borrowing. You know, borrowing to fix roads, borrowing Which is something that no city should get in the habit of doing. But unfortunately, every city's been doing that for the last decade because we're limited.
That kind of brings up a question to the position that you would like to move into after the election in November. When you talk to officials that represent our area in Madison, whether it's in the state assembly or in the state senate or even, you know, within the governor's office itself, what are the questions? Maybe what are the things that the city of Schofield is asking of their representatives, and what kind of responses are you getting right now?
Well, you know, just where is this money coming from? Where are our cities without raising taxes? And I understand property taxes in Wisconsin are high comparatively. I think they're the 10th highest in the country. How can we don't have money to function? And it's the same thing going on with education. The teachers, we need basic money to function, to do our duties, to pay for our police force and our EMTs and our garbage collection. Those are things that we need to pay for. One thing that in talking with our public works director, we discovered was a program from the, I think it was around the 1990s. It's like a shared highway program where the state came in and said, we'll help build this highway if you help us maintain it. Mm-hmm. And in just talking with our public works director, I was looking at some research. That rate that we get, the reimbursement rate, has not been increased since 1994. Well, you can bet that the maintenance of the road has increased since, and that's right. Just one small thing that had we not had that conversation. So that's something that, you know, hopefully whoever is in the legislature in November, that's something that the cities can say, hey, this rate hasn't increased since 1994, but we're still maintaining it.
Right.
Right.
That's one of the interesting aspects, I think, that people don't think about, because when you listen, and again, this is going to be national and statewide and local, so much of campaigning and so much of what politicians talk about are big, broad brushed issues.
Right.
Not going to raise taxes, you know, just words that in a very quick soundbite. But when you talk about, you know, going back to a provision from 25, 30 years ago, yeah, that affects each one of your residents' lives who drive on the roads in Schofield, it affects your city government's life because you have to work with what you have there. When I talk to folks within government, is it difficult to get across to the people that you serve the complexity of some of these issues? Because so often I think people are used to being talked to in a very simple way.
Right, right. And that's one thing that I'm trying to do, you know, in knocking on doors with people. My husband and I have hit 2,000 doors this summer. And I like to have the deep conversations and sit down. And if they talk about roads, you know, I share those little tidbits. But not everybody has the time or the patience and doesn't want to sit and talk about it. They just want to hear, like you said, I'm not going to raise taxes. Well, I don't want to raise taxes either. But also, do you like your fire department? Because, you know, the state is really kind of is limiting every city. But, you know, I think Schofield gets hit harder just because we don't have an ability to expand like some other cities do.
And that's interesting as well, because you said it. Do you like your fire department? Do you like your schools to be a place there where the kids are going to be taught, you know, in the best way possible so their lives are better? There are so many, you can go right down the line on all these issues. And I imagine as a candidate for office, in addition to being an alder person for office, to have those moments to be able to explain those things, as you said, it is not easy. I bet you one of the aspects of campaigning that I would just sort of cringe at is the idea of going door to door, because it's one thing to go to a person's house that you know of, but then somebody you don't know and you don't know what the response is going to be. What is the response when you try to get a little deeper than maybe some other folks would? Do you find that they're interested, or as you said, it's such people's lives are so busy where it's difficult to get through?
There have been I've had very good experiences. I have not had one experience that I've been, whoa, you know, it's all been. And my husband was driving me around one day and he read like four chapters in a book because I stood there and talked to somebody for 30 minutes. But it's been really good. And, you know, I generally, you know, even if someone says, well, I usually vote Republican, I just say very nicely, like, can you tell me why? And I'm just curious. And then it turns into a conversation because I'm willing to actually have the conversation.
that again, and we're talking to Kristen Conway, who is the City of Schofield Alder and also a candidate, Democratic candidate for the State Assembly in the 85th District. She is facing off against incumbent Republican Pat Snyder in November. But that's something that when I talked to State Senate candidate Bob Look on Tuesday, is despite what we see like on social media or on some of the reporting that we see throughout the country, that people don't want to be yelling at each other. They don't want to be mean to each other. They want to have conversations. Is that in some way fulfilling? I mean, when I hear stories like that, well, you just said that you can be the Democratic nominee for this seat and you can talk to somebody that's a true blue Republican right down the line and have these conversations, be able to talk about different issues. I imagine that's got to be a little bit uplifting.
It is. It is. It's really been a great experience. And like you said, I hate it every day. I got to pump myself up. And once I'm out there, I'm fine. But it's actually getting myself out there that I'm like, oh, am I going to do this? And I do it. And I have not had a terrible experience. I've had wonderful, wonderful experiences.
Before we talk about some of your positions on these issues, I'm kind of curious, when you have these conversations, especially with Republicans, what are the reasons why they right now are supporting that party? Because I'm curious, because it's become such a personality-based party, it feels like, in a lot of ways, not really a policy-based party, because I think you go back to the 2020 platform. They didn't even have a platform. They did not, hey, this is what our priorities are. They basically were whatever Donald Trump wants to do. And at the top of the party right now is still Donald Trump. And then you go down the line and you see some of the statewide figures of Robin Voss. And then, of course, we see Pat Snyder here in central Wisconsin. What are the answers you're getting when you have a conversation with a Republican on why they are supporting the party here, well, in central Wisconsin?
Right. Well, and what I've seen, you know, the main issues, the issues everybody is talking about is inflation, is global inflation is number one. And I just, then I ask, well, what has been done at the state level this year to help with that? And then there's a big long pause, because and then I answer for them, nothing, you know, and I just, those kinds of issues. But I also should preface it by saying, I know when I'm not even going to argue. I know when it's time to say, okay, thank you, have a nice day.
Because that's a skill that a lot of us could really use.
right.
Because it's like some people, I think, have a real joy about putting their head against a brick wall, because there literally can be a situation where nothing that you say can change it. And for you, especially when you have, you know, as you say, you want to get to as many doors as you possibly can, get to as many voters as you possibly can, to say, okay, I understand, and this is one that is not in that middle that's persuadable, to say the least.
Right, yeah. I had one lady who started talking about how COVID was a hoax, and I just said, okay, thank you. Here's my card. Goodbye.
Please take a look at my... But, yeah,
exactly.
Be polite. And again, that's so terrific. Again, Kristen Conway with us here on the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230 online at bowfallsradio.com, and mobile devices by searching WXCO, and also Twitter by saying WXCO. Why did you decide to do this? Because that's always one of the most interesting questions. But anybody, you're really putting yourself out there when you decide, I'm going to become a candidate for office. And I think it gets harder and harder these days because of the polarization and a lot of the meanness out there. But what made you decide, hey, this is something that I want to do? And let's face the facts that Pat Snyder's been the representative here for a couple of terms, and it's never easy, no matter whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, to beat an incumbent. What made you decide to throw your hat in the ring?
That's always the most difficult question that I have to answer. And really, the short answer is I just got mad. I have been working. Pat Snyder is actually still on some of the committees for the City of Schofield, so we're familiar with each other. I volunteered for the last two campaigns against him. I'm very familiar with him. And it just came down to, I'm just tired of this. I'm just tired of waking up angry every day. Uh-huh. Every day it's like, well, what fresh hell is going on now today? Uh-huh. So it was a spur of the moment. I texted my husband and said, I'm filling out this to run. Do we need to have a discussion about this? And he wrote back, nope. He just knew, you know, he had been on the county board. We've been involved in politics.
Right.
And he just said, yeah, I think you're right. I think it's time. So
it's one of those things where you know, I imagine being involved in politics gives you that little bit of an edge in terms of knowing what to expect. I imagine that's important, right, too, because you get thrown into that, it's almost like a drying machine. It can be discombobulating, but you have a bit of an idea what to expect. Right.
And running for Schofield, I mean, I won. It was a three-way race, and I won. I had 12 votes total, and I won. So, I mean, this is a much bigger scale. But, yes, I was absolutely prepared, and I still am prepared for what's coming. And I have no rose glasses on. Right. I know what it is. So
every vote counts, huh?
Every vote does count. That's what they say.
Kristen Conway, we're going to take a quick break and then come back, and we're going to talk about some of those issues that, and especially the ones that got the blood flowing, that you feel like we're being ignored right now. So we're going to talk about some of those issues with Kristen Conway, the State Assembly 85th District Democratic nominee, coming up as we continue here on the Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. And welcome back to the Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. We are with you until 4 o'clock. Then after that, it will be the Devil's Advocates from 4 till 6. So join Mike and Dom each weekday from 4 till 6. And again, also real quickly, Pacific Media spreading throughout the state. If you're driving to the southern part of our listening area towards Wood County, you can tune in on locally grown radio, WFHR. So again, make sure you look around for Civic Media and some talk that you will not hear elsewhere throughout the state of Wisconsin and here in central Wisconsin, which is ironic as I talked to Kristen Conway, the 85th Assembly District Democratic nominee, going up against Pat Snyder. Because when I talk about radio, I've been talking about radio and getting different voices on the air. And here in central Wisconsin over the years, been a lot of the same voices over across town, and with conservative talk spreading their message. And Pat obviously was a longtime voice over there. It is, I imagine, difficult sometimes to get your voice to be heard, that you're not backed by huge money. You're not, you know, it's not easy when you're a challenger to get that voice to be heard. And I imagine that's one of the challenges of running for office.
Exactly. Yeah, I've had several television interviews that have never aired for whatever reason. They didn't air them, so.
And I'm just curious, have you ever been invited across town to speak on the issues?
No.
Because I'm going to tell you, I'm going to invite Pat to come on. I mean, because I believe in the system. And the system is to have each of the candidates have the opportunity to spread their message. And that's why I'm glad you're here today. And I'm going to invite you back as we get closer and closer to the election as well. Because in 2 minutes, and one of the things about TV as well is sound bites. They don't have a lot of time. And one reason I like this is that we have a little time to kind of explore the issues. And you mentioned the fact that you just got mad. That you used time to get your... get involved. What are the most important issues right now that you see that you're running on that you want to see changed in the assembly?
Well, there's quite a bit of them. I mean, how much time do you have?
Well, let's start with number one. We'll go down the line.
I don't know if there's a list, but you know, the reason the day that I filed my paperwork was coincidentally 2 days after the leaked draft of Roe v. Wade came out.
Right.
That was kind of my final kick in the behind, as they call it. I can't sit by. And so that day I made phone calls to, you know, Jeff Johnson, anyone that I knew who was involved in politics. Is nobody running? And then I filed my paperwork.
And one of the things that I think is important, we were talking off the air, is for elected officials, for candidates to be on the record on important issues. Because if you're going to ask for somebody's vote, I think it's only fair that people know where you stand, that what kind of state representative are you going to be. When it comes to abortion, we got the 1849 law here that is still the law of the state of Wisconsin, which is incredible. I know that Tim Michaels has said he's all for it. He loves that law, and other Republicans have as well. What is your viewpoint on the current law of the state of Wisconsin, the abortion law of 1849?
The current law is ridiculous. It no woman had any input in that law, obviously, because it was 1849. That law needs to be
repealed. Quickly, what's so amazing about that is some 75, 80 years before women got the right to vote.
Yes, exactly. That's why no women had any say in that.
Amazing.
This was before ultrasounds. This was before penicillin. I mean, this is a ridiculous law. My stance, which is, I mean, I've said this on social media. It's all over my website that the woman's choice is between the doctor and herself. No politician, no judge should be interfering in personal medical decisions, period.
I find that, so common sense, because when I talk to folks about this, you have the woman, you have their partner, their husband, their family members, you have their doctor, and yet
these
candidates want to be sitting at that table,
right,
being part of that conversation. I mean, is that seems to be a little bit odd, isn't it?
No. And so one thing about that I've said time and time again is I don't consider myself a politician. I'm very honest, which I'm not saying that not all politicians are honest, but if you ask me how I feel about an issue, I will tell you. And I will also tell you if I have changed, if I don't know something. I don't claim to know everything.
There's not a problem with learning information and evolving your opinion, is there? And I think sometimes they call it flip-flopping. That's not flip-flopping. That's actually becoming educated, isn't it?
Right, it is. It's looking at the science and the data and listening to experts. Like, I can't tell you enough how, whether in healthcare or in education, with all of this CRT that the GOP is pushing, which isn't a thing, I want to sit down and say, how many teachers have you talked to? How many teachers have you asked about this? Because I've talked to teachers about this. I've talked to my kids' teachers. I've talked to... It's not a thing, but it's being used to distract from, inflation and the things they aren't doing.
That brings up education. The governor obviously just put out a big package. And if you look back over the last couple of decades, state spending on education has just fallen way behind.
Right.
Number one, your take on what the governor would like to do. And number two, generally, in terms of education, your thoughts.
Well, I think the governor's plan is amazing. I think the investment in just the mental health aspect of education is going to go a long way. I've got teenage kids and I've got elementary and middle school kids. Everybody's struggling. And number two, as far as education goes, I don't think it's a secret anymore that the plan is to defund education from the right. That's defund it, then it fails inevitably because they have no money, and then privatize it, which is what has been in process. If no one has seen that, that's what's happening for the last 10 years. We can't afford to keep funding two school systems. My kids attend charter schools that are within the district, so they're still held accountable. They're still held, they have some changes in curriculum that they can do, but they have accountability, and they're supported by the district. They're not private. They're not for-profit. They're not religious. We need to just keep funding one education system, and I think these voucher schools have to go. We can't keep increasing the funding. It's just taking money away from the kids, and it's a circle of let's defund it, then they fail, and then we'll push it all to private. It's privatizing education.
Again, we're talking to Kristen Conway, the Democratic nominee for the 85th Assembly District here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9. And something you said within that answer about, basically almost setting things up to fail. So often we hear from conservatives that government is not the answer. Government can't do anything. Government should not be involved in this or that. And then basically they go in there and do things that sort of makes it a self-fulfilling prophecy. What do you think the role of government is generally? But I guess the question.
I can tell you what the role of government isn't. I don't think it's to tell you who you can marry, mm-hmm. who you can love, who you can be. I don't think that, and that seems to be, like you said, the self-fulfilling prophecy. That's what their bills are focusing on. They're focusing on telling you when you can be a parent and when you can decide who you love, who you can marry, who you can be, what you could read in school, what you can learn in school. And I have some ads dropping next week, and that's the main theme of almost all of them, because that's not freedom.
And that's an interesting aspect, because you always hear about freedom, and then you look at not just one issue, but issue after issue after issue, where they're putting themselves where they used to say, you had the term activist judges, and they always use that as the left. But now the activist judges are kind of on the right. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yes, I would definitely agree with that. It's just been really difficult. One of the other my main issues, and one of my campaign shirts says protect trans kids, because that was another issue that just really got my blood boiling, was, you know, banning trans girls from sports. I played women's flat track roller derby for 10 years, mm-hmm. which is one of the most inclusive sports. And I did a blog post, like, I've actually played on a women's team with trans skaters, against trans skaters, and this isn't an issue, but it's being pushed as it's this giant issue because it was a distraction. Again, everything is a distraction from, you know, not accepting Medicaid. Forget that we didn't fix health care, but let's focus on, you know, ostracizing these trans kids because that's helpful for their mental health. And that was sarcasm.
It's always good to underline it. Right? Yes, exactly. And actually, you mentioned that, the say no to the Medicaid funding. I remember years ago saying no to funding that was given for high-speed rail. Why? I mean, it just, there seems to be some common sense things that can be done that should be bipartisan,
right?
That aren't being done. And I imagine that's also a frustrating aspect when you talk about getting mad, where you see what I would call layups. You know, it's a layup. You should be able to make the layup, and that they seem to bang it off the board and it goes off the iron.
Right. And just, I mean, there was $1 billion incentive this year, and they just said, I think Robin Voss actually said, over my dead body.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why? Why is giving more people health care an issue? And I don't understand it. And so I can't even explain to you what I don't understand it.
And one of the aspects that I wanted to ask you about as well is the fact that they've been on quite a long break in Madison. It's amazing that they've been on this long of a break, because, and also another stat you see is the Democratic members of the state legislature, whether they get 1% or 2% of the 2%. Ideas, even a hearing.
Yep.
And again, it feels like that should be a bipartisan thing to do, whether you're in the minority or the majority, to have hearings, to have ideas, to be able to learn a little bit about different ideas. The idea that just because you're in the minority, that you don't get an opportunity to have a hearing to talk about something that could improve the lives of others. And I would say the same thing for a Republican. If the Democrats were in power, if they have these ideas that they feel like, hey, this can help the people of our state, I don't understand that. Do you have any idea why, number one, they're on vacation for such a long time, and on number two, why we aren't even able to discuss these ideas? And to, you know, if there's a great idea on one side and the Republicans say, hey, this is a great idea, let them take credit for it, because you still get something done.
Right, right. Well, and I've read a lot about this, and, you know, there are a lot of theories, and I just honestly think that a lot of what they did this year, they pushed through, I think, was it 72 bills that were vetoed mm-hmm. by Governor Evers? They knew they were going to be vetoed. They pushed them through. They did it so that they could use that as, see, the governor's refusing to work with us. Mm-hmm. But they're not saying the other side of that, which is, oh, yeah, we didn't let any Democrats get any bills passed at all. You know, I just have a vision.
And not even passed, but even
right,
talked
even
about.
Talked about, right. I have a vision of government that, you know, functions and is full of compromise and sitting down at the table where, you know, they were called in, I think, seven or nine times for a special session, and they gabbled in and gabbled out. If you're not even willing to talk about it, how is that a functioning government?
Let me ask you about that word compromise. What is your feeling on compromise? Because obviously, we all have our deep beliefs. Right. But at the same time, what's the old saying? It's better to get a half a loaf than no loaf at all.
Well, and you know, that's, I've had people say to me, well, you know, in regards to the abortion issue, well, would you be okay if there were exceptions for rape and incest? Well, I mean, it's something. I mean, no, I will not be happy, but it's something. And, you know, I've got four kids. I know how to compromise. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But even, you know, just even to have the discussion, and the fact that we're not even sitting down to have the discussion, it's all partisan. You know, like I said, I've talked with Representative Snyder. We've had one-on-one discussions. I know how he feels about certain things. But nobody else does, because he doesn't talk about it. He doesn't put it on his website. It's not on his social media. And he's talking to people. He's out knocking doors, but I assume he's talking to other Republicans. How does he feel about these issues? Nobody knows.
And I asked you previously, are there any events where you call them debates, but joint appearances and to talk about these issues? And you're saying no. And I think that's also something that's sad in a democracy.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I've watched, you know, prior, I think when he ran against Mandy, there was a, it was posted by a school, they did a little mock debate that was kind of cute, but that was the last thing I think where it was actually in person with COVID. I mean, I know I have an interview next week with Wisconsin Eye, but that's just a one-on-one discussion.
Right.
But no, I don't think there's going to be any debate.
Before we wrap it up, we've got about 45 seconds to go. How can people get more information on you and find out about the issues that are important to you and just pass along for folks who want to find out a little bit more before they cast their vote?
Right. Well, I have a website, conwayforthe85th.com. It's got a lot of information on it. I have an Instagram and a Facebook page, the same, Conway for the 85th. And I, like I said, I'm very open about how I feel about things. I have a couple events coming up. I have an event this Saturday, trivia event at Whitewater. And those are all on my website as well.
Terrific. I hope to have you back on very soon, talk more about these issues, and thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Again, Kristen Conway, a candidate for the 85th Assembly District. More coming up here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9. Welcome back, Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Again, thanks to Kristen Conway for joining us, talking about her race in the State Assembly, 85th District, a Democratic nominee going up against the incumbent, the Republican Pat Snyder, who is looking for another term in office. So, again, you can go to her website and check out her Facebook page and get more information. And again, we talk about this. I'm not saying, you know, who to vote for, who not to vote for. We all have our, I think, our big issues that we look at. But at the same time, if you have a chance, I know that life can be very busy at times, but try to find out who are the candidates in the races in your part of the world. And you look at the State Assembly and the State Senate, you can be in different districts in the sound of my voice, but go to these websites. Go find out where these candidates stand on issues and be an informed voter. And again, that's one of the aspects. I keep talking about some of the aspects I want to discuss on this program. And one of the aspects is to try and educate. And I'm not talking about being a dry educational kind of way. Try to have fun conversations, but at the same time, get out some information that can make you a more informed voter and be able to help you in your discussions with your family and friends talk about these issues. And that's the only way this democracy works. Again, I'm trying not to be, you know, overly political at times and try to have a little bit of a different discussion. But at the same time, our democracy is not just in trouble because of the actions of a few politicians or a few, you know, far right at people who involved in January 6th and everything else. We have to take charge of our democracy as well. We have to be informed voters. We have to be involved. And that's one of the things, a couple of our guests this week, Bob Look first on Tuesday running for the State Senate, and here Kristen Conway. These are not career politicians. These are not people that have been running for office over and over again to try to become, you know, a senator or president of the United States. These are people who see what's going on and decided to get involved. And as I said to Kristen earlier, I have the greatest respect for people on the right and people on the left that do put their hats in the ring, that get involved in these elections, put themselves on the line, because on election night, there's going to be somebody that wins and there's going to be at least one and sometimes multiple candidates that lose. It's not fun to lose. It's not fun to lose whether you're playing cards or you're playing pool or you're part of an election. And for anybody that goes into a race knowing that it's an uphill struggle, and for people that are running against incumbents, it's always an uphill struggle. There's a reason why, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, when you're an incumbent, you win well over 90% of the time. It's because we have a system that's broken. We have a system that has lines that are broken, the gerrymandering. And I was talking to Kristen as well. I remember years ago had a morning program here on WXCO and would bring in Mandy right when she was the state representative. And one of her big issues was gerrymandering, fair lines. And it's something that just cannot seem to be done fairly. You have, I would say, one party that loves to gerrymander those lines to make sure that they have a big majority in each of the houses of the state legislature. There was an election probably 8 to 10 years ago where Democratic candidates got more votes than Republican candidates in state assembly races around the state of Wisconsin. There were more Democratic votes than Republican votes, but in the end, there were 60 seats earned by Republicans and 39 seats earned by Democrats. There is something not right with that. I'm not saying that that the Republicans could, in fair maps, even in a situation like that, have more seats than Democrats, but 60 to 39, where there were actual more votes for Democratic candidates than Republican candidates, your party had less votes than the other, and you still have a 60 to 39 edge. There's something that's just not right about that. And I think any of us that are completely in when it comes to American democracy knows that that can't continue. That cannot continue indefinitely where people see these lines that are just not fair. And you got to make it fair. I mean, win the battle of ideas. Don't win the battle of the gerrymandering districts. Go out there, sell your ideas. If you believe in a certain way, and I don't, there's a big story this week about Tim Michaels and some of the donations that him and his wife and his family foundations have made to certain organizations. And they're organizations I would not have given money to, but Tim Michaels has the right to make those donations. He does not have the right to get all mad at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel because they report on it. Tell us why. Tell us, no, run on it. Run on it. And Kristen Conway is talking about her frustration that her opponent is, not coming out and making strong statements on some of these very important issues. And again, you can run your race any way you want, but if you're Tim Michaels and you give big amounts of money to some of these organizations, don't get mad because it's reported that you're giving money to these organizations. Get in front of the cameras, get in front of the microphones, get in front of anybody that will listen going door to door and say why you think this is the right thing to do. And there's nothing wrong with that. Again, I we can disagree on issues, but don't get mad at the media because they're reporting on facts that are in the public record. Mr. Michaels was not all that upset when the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, back before he announced his campaign for governor, did a story on a big donation that he gave to a hospital out east that helped save his child's life who had a brain tumor. Terrific. It was a wonderful story where some very talented medical professionals were able to help save the life of the daughter of Mr. Michaels, and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel wrote a nice story on it. He wasn't all upset about it then, but they report on same situation where him and his wife give money to an organization and he gets very upset. And I'm sure many of you heard, and you probably heard it on the top of the hour news throughout the day, where a government official in Las Vegas where a government official murdered a journalist because he was mad at the journalist for reporting true facts. I mean, we cannot go down this road. We cannot. And I think part of the reason that we are so divided is the fact that you have all these very safe districts, and whether it's Republican or Democratic, these gerrymandered lines, all these fair districts, you have to fix that. So again, you have competitive districts where you have to sell your ideas to the electorate in order to win office, not just happen to be the nominee of one of the parties. And again, that is just one of those things that I think have to be fixed in order to make our democracy better, more strong, and make sure as we come up, in 2026, the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence, the start of this country, 250 years coming up very soon. Got to make sure that we get another 250 years, and we have to do the right things to make sure that happens. That's going to wrap things up on this edition of the Chad Holmes Show. Thanks again to Nick Ockwig for joining me, and also to Kristen Conway. Coming up, CBS News at the top of the hour, and then after that, join Mike and Dom. It will be the Devil's Advocates coming up from 4 till 6 right here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230.